This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
To the streets below, on a freshly fallen silent shroud of snow. I am a rock, I am an island. I built walls, a fortress deep and mighty that none may penetrate. I have no need of friendship. Friendship causes pain. It's laughter and it's loving I disdain. I am a rock. I am an island. Don't talk of love. Well, I've heard the word before. It's sleeping in my memory. I won't disturb the slumber of feelings that have died. If I never loved, I never would have cried. I am a rock. I am an island.
Stop laughing, it's not fun.
The guidelines of the task force, the new modeling conducted by Dr. Birx, and our consultation with governors, we've made the decision to further toughen the guidelines and blunt the infection now.
Living in a nightmare.
Please.
Within my womb, I touch no one and no one touches me. Hiding in my room, safe within my womb, I touch no one and no one touches me.
If everyone makes this change or these critical changes and sacrifices now, we will rally together as one nation and we will defeat the virus, and we're going to have a big celebration all together.
Hiding in my room, safe within my womb, I touch no one and no one touches me.
Yeah, I mean, we planned this a long time ago and it was kind of up in the air if we still go, but like, we're here. I just turned 21 this year, so I'm here to party, so it's kind of disappointing, but we're just making the most of it. We met these other people in our little Airbnb spot, so we're just hanging out with them and trying to get drunk before everything closes.
I get Corona, I get Corona.
When I think about things I want to post cool stuff, slick stuff, neat stuff. But most of the stuff I'm going to post is going to be raw stuff like this. This is just who I am.
Sacrifices now, we will rally together as one nation and we will defeat the virus, and we're going to have a big celebration all together.
I'm trapped.
Please.
You don't get this bit, do you think I do? Think about it. I'll wait. Take an hour. Back! Get it!
Hi, I'm Chuck Woolery, and I'm here to talk to you about catheters. Let me tell you why.
Hiding in my room, safe within my womb, I touch no one and no one touches me.
I get corona.
Tax relief may never come. It don't.
If everyone makes this change or these critical changes, sacrifices now, we will rally together as one nation, and we will defeat the virus. And we're going to have a big celebration all together.
It don't worry me. Oh, it don't.
Please.
Touches me.
It means nothing.
It's all for me.
was fired.
Ain't gonna be nothing left in our graves except black water. Red dust, Tom, that's right.
Thank God for dark brown trousers.
Sonic Assassins cleared for space flight. Countdown starting now. 30.
Countdown started. All units prepare for activation.
25.
Production androids activated. Now.
The tape is rolling. The red orb is glowing.
20.
Audience receptor units activated. Now.
Yes!
15.
Music distribution equipment activated. Now.
10. Nine,
Michael,
eight,
I'm going
seven,
to kill you!
5, 4,
all units
three,
activated.
2,
countdown
one,
terminating.
Countdown complete.
All units functioning. Movement commencing. We have liftoff.
Caravan Pictures presents the movie The Phone Company Doesn't Want You to See.
Hey, jerky!
Who the hell is this? And confusion. Just to get a glimpse beyond this illusion. I'm soaring ever higher. Not flew too high. Though my eyes could see, I still was a blind man. Though my mind could think, I still was a madman. I hear the voices when I'm dreaming.
Yes!
I can hear them say, carry on my wayward son. There'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more.
Bam. Bam. Yes. Bam. Bam.
Here it is. Bam.
Bam.
Here it is. Bam.
Bam. Yes! Michael, I'm going to kill you!
What do you wear to a Taylor Swift concert?
I wore shorts and a t-shirt and of course.
Bam! 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 Yes! Bam! Yes! Bam! Yes!
I never liked heavy rock. I hate, like, if you ask me, like, those real, like, Grand Funk Railroad or even the crazy mega, you know, the mega jazz or, like, crazy ones with the guitars. I hate that stuff.
Like Black Sabbath?
Oh, Black Sabbath. But what's the other one that's really good?
AC/DC?
Yeah, and who's got Enter Sandman? Who's that?
Metallica.
Metallica. I would never say. If Metallica played my backyard, I'd draw the blind. I mean, okay. Okay, I mean, give me a break. I mean, you gotta be... Man, that's not music. I couldn't even listen to that.
Not into that.
Up.
I'm look up.
Hey, it's the best show. What's going on, everybody? It's your friend Tom Sharpman here with you, speaking to you from Los Angeles in Corona lockdown, whatever we call it. What do we call it? Quarantine, self-quarantine. Well, whatever we call it, it's what I am and where I am. So yeah, man, locked down, holding it down, staying safe, trying to stay alive. Got some fears like everybody else, and got some hope like everybody else, and just riding this roller coaster here that we are. Up, down, all over the place, but we're all on it together for the most part, some of us more or less than others. Some people truly doing whatever they want. Some people starting to lose it a little bit. It's like the movie Zodiac. When you know that the terror is out there, we all react differently, and no one is wrong unless you start hurting people. You're a little scared? That's fair. You don't feel like doing anything? That's fair. You want to crawl in bed some days? That's completely fair. But you feel like doing stuff? That's fair too. In terms of you want to get things going, you want to take care of parts of your life? Good. We all are playing the giant game of Uno, where the cards keep getting flipped over, and then sometimes we think we're doing good, and then suddenly you gotta take a bunch of cards and you're not good all of a sudden. So, up, down. If this is working for you as an opportunity to get your life in order, I am glad. I have those days, and I try to do as much work as I can when I do, and I got so much to do, and I'm really working a lot, man, lately, I tell you.
Hi, everybody. Tim Heidecker here to let you know about our latest episode of Office Hours Live.
Office Hours is great fun.
With the great John Early and Theda Hamill.
Very handsome.
Thank you. They're here to talk about their new movie, Stress Positions. And we just had a wonderful time. There was a lot of laughter and joy. Don't believe me? Well, listen for yourself on the podcast app of your choice. You're not going to want to miss a second. That's at Office Hours Live at the podcast app of your choice.
Bum, 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 bum.
I love Vic and Doug, and I love drinking my wine.
Ain't no rest. Best show takes a long time to assemble now, piece by piece, part by part. But that's par for the course with that. And if that's the card that I have been dealt in that regard, so be it. I will deal with it. And it's fine. And the shows are fun. And I like doing them also. So it's all good. I want to tell you about a few things. First of all, we got Double Threat. What's Double Threat? Oh, it's the podcast I do with Julie Klausner now. That's right. Me and Julie giving each other the business, get guests on, give them a hard time. It's on the Forever Dog Network, and it's a really funny show. We've done two episodes. I love it so much. It is so much fun. Nothing is more fun than being funny with Julie. And we are doing that and having a great time doing it, and it's only getting better, I'm telling you. This is the beginning. You're going to look back at this like when you look back at those old episodes of Simpsons, you're just like, man, I thought that was the funniest thing I ever saw in my life. Now I look back and it's less funny, but it was the funniest thing ever, but it kept getting funnier. Look, right now, we're past that. We jumped past it. We got in shape. We worked this thing out. We came into this thing. We're season four Simpsons right out of the box on this thing. Not like these other things. You got to you sit, stare at your watch, wait for somebody to figure out what they're doing. Nah, it ain't what we're doing. So Double Threat, you check that out. It's great. It's fun. I love it. For people who support the best show, patreon.com/thebestshow is where we earn our living. We don't do ads on this show. We don't take moolah on this show. We only do that. The listeners support it, and we do it, and you do what you can, and we keep going, and it's fun, and yeah, man, we're trying. Why do I keep saying, yeah, man, what am I? A hoodlum? A street tough? No, I'm not. Ain't no street tough. So, we're doing a thing over there. We got Meet My Friends the Friends. I think one more episode of that will go up, and then we'll record some more, and we'll keep those going. Meet My Friends the Friends, the Friends podcast, into season four now, which is a lot of fun, and got some good stuff in the pipeline. Then, doing the Q&As over there. I'll record another one this week where I answer your questions. You, the Patreon donator, send in your question, and I will answer it. We'll get one of those up. But the big news is, so far, what's so far? Well, it's the show where me and Jason Dudio Gore and Pat Byrne and AP Mike go year by year through the Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young discography, solo albums, Crosby, Stills, and Nash albums, Crosby and Nash albums, whatever. We're doing them all. Neil Young solo albums, which is 45 of those. We're going through it, piece by piece, bit by bit, year by year. We got one episode up. Talk about getting better. That show is going to keep, as we get into the better material, it's going to be so much fun. It already is fun. It's a blast. I love doing it, and it's funny and informative, and it's not mean either. It's not mean. It's a little teasy, but it's not mean. So check that out. And listen to The Best Show. Today's episode of The Best Show, we got, you just heard a sound collage. It's pretty sweet. Then we got a call or fun stuff with callers, with listeners, where we talk about people creating new Netflix shows that they could come up with. And we will talk about that. And there's that. There's other stuff. And before you know it, it'll be done. And then we'll have another episode for you, because we're not stopping. I'm telling you right now, my friends, we are not stopping. We're going to keep going on this thing, and we're going to keep this show busy and active, and keep making it, and keep making it fun. And so keep listening. Thanks for the support, and welcome to The Best Show.
Hello, best show.
Hey, Tom, it's Mark from Comedy Nerds Podcast. I was wondering if this might be an okay time to do the interview.
Well, Mark, I'm kind of doing the best show right now, so it's maybe not, you know, though, hey, if you're comfortable doing it on the air now on my show, yeah, let's do it. Why not?
Are you serious? I'd love to do it now. That's so nice of you.
Yeah, let's try it.
Oh, my God, this is so good because I got to say we've been getting really lucky with a lot of the interviews lately, and I think that's probably one of the only good things about this quarantine is that everyone has time to talk now.
Yeah, sure.
But I mean, but having you on the show?
Yeah.
It's the ultimate get for us.
The ultimate get?
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Well, that's very flattering.
Well, we're all such huge fans here, and our listeners absolutely adore you. And I'll tell you, we did a poll recently, and you were the number one most requested guest, right ahead of Stephen Colbert and Melanie Hutzel.
Wow. Huh. Number one most requested guest?
Oh, my God. You deserve it, too.
Huh. Okay. Well, I got to say, you're making me feel pretty good, Mark.
Well, let's get right down to it. Is that okay?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, all right. Are we rolling? Yes, okay. Hey, everybody. I'm here with the one and only Tom Sharpling, a true Renaissance man of comedy. He's a TV writer. He's a commercial director. He's a video director, founder of and host of the groundbreaking radio show, now a podcast, The Best Show. please forgive me for what I'm about to say. Is there anything he can't do? Tom, how are you today?
Oh, thanks for asking, Mark. I'm doing pretty good. You know, just trying to get through each and every one of these days and make the most of everything.
It's crazy.
Really. Yeah.
Well, okay, first question. Tom, I'm curious what your first experiences with comedy were, and if you knew from a very young age that you would end up being such an influential comedy writer.
Well, I guess the first part of that question would be my first experiences with comedy would be stuff like Saturday Night Live was a big influence on me as a kid, and I loved a lot of comedy movies, you know, stuff with Bill Murray in it and just like, you know, Meatballs or Caddyshack and movies like that were big influences. And then I saw.
I'm sorry, Tom. Ugh.
What?
Sorry, there's a problem with the sound level. Ugh. Okay. Yeah, it's all way too quiet. I'm so sorry.
Okay.
Can you just answer again? I know that's a real pain in the butt. I'm sorry.
No.
So just the answer from the beginning.
Sure. We can do it. So you want me to just talk about the comedy influences, that
yes.
part?
Okay. Yes. Yeah.
Well, that's an interesting question to think about. I guess the earliest influences would probably be like, Saturday Night Live was a show I really enjoyed and liked a lot of the people on that. And then because of that, I started checking out like movies that Bill Murray was in, like Meatballs and Caddyshack. And I also was a pretty big fan of David Letterman at the time. He had a late night with David Letterman was a show that was very influential for me, for the kind of comedy.
Oh, Tom, I'm so sorry once again. Oh, the audio recorder froze up.
Okay.
I'm mortified.
That's all right. Really? I mean, it happens.
Oh, is it working? Hang on. You're sure it's okay. A million apologies. We are back and running, and you don't have to start from the beginning. Just, you know, let's do the part where you're talking about whether or not you knew at a young age that you were going to be into comedy. How about that? Sorry about that.
Okay, sure. I didn't know whether I would be in, I was interested in comedy. I didn't know whether I would be somebody who made it, though. I liked funny stuff and I liked, being funny. And that was something I was figuring out as a kid. And I enjoyed, I guess trying to be funny for my family and for relatives and stuff, but I really didn't have much aspiration for being a
whoa. Oh man,
what's up,
Tom? We had a power surge here and we lost the very end of what you said, so if you could just finish that last train of thought, I can piece it together. It's going to be great. Sure, so just sure, the very end of what you were saying.
Uh-huh. But I didn't really know if I was going to be actually in comedy. I didn't know if that was something that was.
That's great. Thank you so much, Tom. That was a total blast.
Wait, that was it?
Yeah, we got what we need.
Okay. All right. Just a little thrown. What do you mean you got what you need?
Oh, believe me, we have what we need.
You know, I gotta just say, Mark, you call in during my show and you do your interview with me for your thing during my thing, and then you cut me off a bunch, and I don't think I got, I don't know if I got two cogent thoughts out in the course of that. And that's not really the kind of interview I'd want to be a part of, to be honest. It's a little bit of a waste of time for me, to be honest.
Hey, you can't talk to me like that.
I can't talk to you. Well, why can't I talk to you like that?
Because you're going to jail.
Wait, why am I going to jail?
Oh, nothing much. Just a little crime called making threats against City Hall.
Making a threat against City Hall. I have literally no idea what you're talking about.
Well, I have the recording of the threat right here.
You have a recording of me making a threat against City Hall?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, here, check it out.
This is Tom Sharpling, and I'm going to flood City Hall with Dr. Pepper can from the bottling plant next door.
Whoa.
What did
you You said it. You said you're going to flood City Hall with Dr. Pepper 10 from the bottling plant next door?
I never said any of that.
Sure you did.
Tom Sharpling, and I'm going to flood City Hall with Dr. Pepper 10 from the bottling plant next door.
I didn't say that.
I didn't even know they were still making Dr. Pepper 10.
Yeah, it's for men only. It was a pretty important drink for a lot of us men. Because there was a real problem with feeling like Dr. Pepper was too ladylike, too feminine. And
I can totally see that.
Yeah, I was just really – we were – as I think I can speak for all – men on this one, is that we were all just relieved that there was finally a beverage for us that
true,
that wasn't as it wasn't just like, yeah, it was for guys. It was a very masculine soda.
Yeah, not girly, because most sodas are girly.
Yeah, and that's why it was nice. Dr. Pepper 10, I appreciated that incorporation just making a beverage that just was for us, and I felt at home whenever I would drink a can of it.
Sounds like you also felt at home flooding City Hall with it.
Well, I didn't say any of that.
Sure you did, just a few minutes ago. I mean, not those words in that order, but let's just say thank God for this new Radio Hut audio thread app.
Radio Hut audio threat app?
Yes, it's an amazingly cool app. basically you take any kind of recording, any kind of speech or anything, and it turns it into a really heinous threat.
But no, well, first of all, that's a disgusting product. That's complete. I don't understand what good it could come out of a something like that.
Well, but, one thing that good that's going to come out is you're going to be in jail.
That's good. Okay, I guess that would, if that was, I don't know. I thought you wanted to talk to me, and that it was, I don't know. But I don't appreciate any of this, and I don't like the idea that words I didn't even say have, that I just talked, and this app does what? It kind of reconfigures the sound of my voice.
Yeah, and it makes the person sound way more evil too.
Yeah, I mean, that doesn't even sound like me, on that, but I gotta just say, Mark, there's no way anybody's gonna believe any of this.
Well, did you record the conversation on your end?
No, I actually didn't record the conversation on my end because the Best Show computer's down, and honestly, I haven't been able to record anything like that for weeks.
Oh my God, that's too bad. Looks like this is going to be a real he's head, cheese head situation, huh?
A real what's that?
He's head, cheese head?
He's head, cheese head?
Yeah, you never heard that before?
No, you all know it? Honestly, no, I haven't heard it before. That's a first. It's not he's head, cheese head. It's he said, she said.
Crack a book on the Old West much? Don't sound like you do.
Well, I don't actually, to be fair. I don't really read up on the Old West.
Oh yeah, it goes back to the days of like Jimmy the Kid. Was it Jimmy the Kid or Billy the Kid? Jimmy the Kid was his nephew. It was just as creepy. Anyway, goes back to that time when a new outlaw would come into town and the law guys, the sheriff, etc., would place wagers on whether or not his head was real or if it was a block of cheese carved into a head.
This actually happened in the Wild West?
I think so. Doesn't it sound plausible?
No, it doesn't even sound remotely plausible that anybody would argue whether somebody's head was a head or just made of cheese.
Okay, well, maybe I just made it up, but I can't be sure. But anyway, all of that is moot because I'm the only one with an audio record of what was said. And I hope you like prison food and also prison clothing.
Hey, Mark? Mm-hmm? I just want to say, I did just realize one thing, is that you called me on the Best Show, on the Best Show number, while I'm doing the show, which means that this entire conversation, everything you just said, was heard by tens of thousands of listeners, and I am sure some of them recorded it.
Wait, so you really think you have, what, tens of thousands of listeners?
Yeah.
I mean, oh no! Oh, how could I be so stupid? Well, at least I didn't give my real name.
Yeah. Well, Mark, I don't know what to tell you, but you blew it. And also, I got to say, this plan that you did, I know where you, this is from the movie Clifford. It's what Martin Short does to Charles Grodin in the movie.
It's called Clifford?
Clifford, yes.
What happens in it?
It's a movie where Martin Short plays a 10-year-old boy and.
Right.
He just wants to go to this amusement park, Dinosaur World.
Right.
And he cannot get there because his uncle is busy working. So he starts to sabotage his uncle's life piece by piece. And
I've seen this movie, but I thought it was called I Want to Say Nathan.
No, it's not. It's called Clifford. And it's Mason, not Nathan. It wouldn't even be, I want to say, the line you're referencing, you're getting wrong.
Oh, yeah. Huh.
But the movie's called.
Oh, no.
Wait, what is that?
Oh, crap. Oh, total crap. Officer Harris must have been listening to this show, and he probably recognized my voice from when I tried this whole thing out on him a couple months ago.
Uh-huh. Well, did it work when you tried it then?
No. Why?
Well, I guess I was asking because it doesn't seem to be working now.
Well, hang on. Let me let him in. Yeah, it was me. Ugh. All right, hang on. Tom, he's cuffing me.
Okay.
All right, he's leading me out to the cruiser, and I just have to ask, do you really think you had tens of thousands of listeners?
Yeah, I know I do. What, you don't think I do, Mark? But he's gone. Okay, well, I know I have tens of thousands of listeners. That's not even up for dispute. We got a ton of listeners for this show, and, you know, I was never a big fan of the Comedy Nerds, that podcast anyway. So I guess if you're a fan of it, you might not have a host for a while because it sounds like they're taking Mark away. All right, yeah, welcome to the best show. It's me, Tom, and I'm here with... Who's here? Go in alphabetical order by first name. Let's see if you guys can figure that out.
Hi, I'm Jason.
Wrong.
Is that not correct? Yeah. That's correct.
AP Mike goes first.
Oh, Jesus, you're right. Sorry, Mike, I stepped all over you there.
I let you do it. I didn't know if you were going to do it for Dudio or, I wasn't sure how you were going to handle it, but, you know. Okay. So I'm here.
How are you doing, Mike?
I'm doing good.
You good? How are things in Bayonne? How's the,
It's strange still, you know, and, they are getting a little stricter with protocols, with, you know, masks and gloves.
Mm-hmm.
My local bagel place, which was closed for a good part of the while, but I walked past it today. I went on a meatball run. I've got enough meatballs to keep me for a few days now.
Okay. But, thank God.
I passed the bagel place and I saw these signs about how you need a mask and gloves to, you know, make a pickup there. And a friend of mine, you know, she put together this care package for me. It was very nice. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, like everything she does towards me, it was like overly generous. I mean, the boxes were huge. I thought she was going to send me some cookies and, some masks. She saw, you know, there's all these things online, how to make your own homemade mask. And I guess she thought it was funny. One of the masks are made from panty liners.
Yeah.
And you sort of cut them up and you put them in, sew them in this material. And so she did this. But, the problem with the panty liners is I guess she didn't get the wide angle or the, I don't know what the correct verbiage is. They're very narrow, so it didn't even quite cover my nose.
Okay.
Plus they seem to be scented. And so you're inhaling this smell, you know, which in small doses might not be so unpleasant, but when you got it right up to your nose and mouth, it's a lot to take. So, you know, I got these masks, but I can't use them. I've got to find real masks. Have you guys found masks someplace or is there a good
source? I have a mask.
Did you get it online or?
We found ours on Etsy. You know, the place where you'd usually get like crafts and stuff.
Oh, really?
Okay. There are people making them on there. Etsy.
Okay.
People have heard of
it. Mike, had you ever heard of Etsy before that?
No.
Okay. Thank you. Kristen laughed in the background. She's like, people have heard of Etsy.
Do I look like a crafty guy? I mean,
I'm going to say this. But again, Mike might, I'm sure Mike might not know what Etsy is, but I'm sure Mike probably knows a couple weird websites that Chris has never heard of.
I would agree with that.
I don't want to play that game.
No, I won't join that game either.
No, I don't want to find out.
No.
Well, look, somebody out there has to have masks for AP Mike. If you're in New Jersey and you hear Mike, you hook him up with a mask, huh?
What about your Walgreens and CVS? Do they have them? I mean, I thought that there was a run on them. That's why I didn't rush out and get them or try to get them. And then they were telling you not to wear them, but now they seem to reverse that. So
no, they want everybody wearing these things.
Yeah. No, I have no problem wearing it. It's just I saw how you can make it out of a sock. Mm-hmm. I was tempted to do that one. That was somewhat easy looking. But
do you have a tank top?
What's that?
Do you have like a tank top or an old handkerchief or something?
I don't want to know if Mike has a tank top. Please. Can I?
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, Mike, do you have a tank top? Mike?
Are we still doing? Are we still doing intros?
Yeah, we are.
I've never worn a tank top. No.
Yeah. I will say this. I wonder in Bayonne if it's a problem for the criminals to, you know, they're used to having a mask on and stuff. Are they feeling like stepped on at all or that the people of Bayonne now that you can't tell the criminals from the people that are just legally wearing masks?
Uh-huh. And some people seem to be more into it than others. Have you seen that?
Wearing the masks?
Yeah, the guys with the you know, they're wearing it like in an old Western, you know, with the bandanas.
Sure.
They're going for like a cooler look.
Uh-huh.
You know, they're a little too into it for me, you know, some people.
Yeah, well, look, as long as everybody's being safe.
Yeah.
And, yeah, Mike, I want to introduce who's next in alphabetical order.
Technically, it's me, but I already blew it.
No. Let's see if the two of you can figure this out.
Yeah. It's me.
It's you?
It is me. Yeah, it's Jason.
Okay.
How are you? Duty of Gore.
How are you?
I'm good. Day 35 inside, so.
What's that now? Day 35?
Yeah, day 35 on the inside.
Yeah, so. It is. Yeah. Very exciting.
Yeah.
Setting. What are you watching to get by?
We've been rewatching 30 Rock, which has been pretty great.
Okay.
We watch a cooking show called The Pioneer Woman.
Okay.
Are you familiar with that?
No.
She lives in Oklahoma. She does a lot of very homey, type recipes. Go ahead.
Like what kind of thing? Like
casseroles and like pasta like salads. Steaks.
Possum salad?
Possum salad.
Okay.
She'll do that.
That must bring back memories of being back in West Virginia for you.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up on possum salad, Tom.
You grew up? Well, you did those commercials, radio commercials for that possum hot wing place.
Possum Shack.
The Possum Shack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the other night she did, so she's now having to film her show, from home, mm-hmm. With the help of her kids and like some nephews and stuff that are living there. And, Kristen tweeted about this because we were shocked. She made a 11 can soup.
Okay.
That was just her pouring 11 cans into a pot and heating it up. And one of the cans was soup.
What were the other cans?
The other cans were like, there was a can of pesto, a can of peppers, tomatoes, uh-huh. Mushrooms.
So she was opening any can she had.
11 cans that she had, she poured it into a pot and then called that 11 can soup.
Yeah, I think I could make 11 can soup.
Yeah.
I'm going to say I think I could have my own cooking show then.
Yeah.
That sounds pretty manageable.
Yeah.
To just pour things, open cans, and put them in a pot.
Uh-huh. It's a great recipe for the quarantine.
Yeah. It sounds like you'd make 11 can soup after you found out that all hope was lost. we lost the fight.
Well, might as well heat up some 11 can soup.
Yeah. 11 can soup sounds like the final meal.
Yeah.
I don't know. That sounds slightly hopeless. Did you make 11 can soup?
We haven't made 11 can soup. We've made quite a few soups, but not 11 can. I would say at most we had 5 cans.
Okay. Maybe. What are you
talking about? I'm talking about the number of cans that we had in our soups.
In a chili, we would have 3 cans.
So Kristen says in a chili, we'd have 3 cans.
Tomatoes. Yeah, that's what I do. Okay.
And that's what Mike does too. And Mike,
I can actually hear her clear as day.
Oh, you can?
Yeah. Yeah.
Great. She's part of the show then.
Yeah. I can't hear anything. Well, there's nothing to hear. Not missing anything. There's literally nothing. So you're gonna make 11 can soup.
Yeah. Very that's the exciting. Plan. Some possum salad. It's good eats.
Exactly. No, it's great. It's great.
Vittles.
Vittles, yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. I think it's exciting that you're living your best life with a giant. Now, when you order from like one of those food places, do they bring like possum? Is that one of the things that the delivery shows up and then you realize like Amazon, they didn't bring the possum.
Yeah. When the possum's not in the fresh direct bag, mm-hmm. I do get a little upset and I feel a little helpless.
Sure.
Cause I really have looked forward to, I look forward to that possum, you know, every week. And, cause that's what grandma made.
Yeah.
I'd get up. She'd be watching Carson late at night and she'd be like, you want a possum sandwich? And I'm like, yeah, that sounds great.
Sure. Just a little possum, little
miracle side. Whip.
Yeah, a little Miracle Whip for dessert, a little sweet or savory possum.
Yeah, the Miracle Whip was 1,000% dessert.
Yeah, that's the dessert possum.
Yeah, it's a special time.
Now, Pat, how are you?
I'm okay.
You sound a little glum, chum.
Oh, no, I was just thinking about
the pandemic.
How to tie in this 11 can soup to something. Like I was trying to think about movies, you know, like if you recently watched Seven and then you watched 12 Monkeys, if 11 Can Soup was like a B movie, it might be like, well, you know, the auto suggestion underneath it might be like, well, since you watch these movies, you might like, you know, 11 Can Soup by, I don't know what it would be. A trauma movie, maybe?
27 Dresses?
Yeah, 27 Dresses, 12 Monkeys, 11 Can Soup.
How are they doing these days, Trauma? I wonder how they're coping with the pandemic.
They're still actively shooting movies, I would bet. They're ignoring social distancing and they're just, Lloyd Kaufman is just making movies right now. In an empty New York City right now.
Yeah, he probably has. It's the greatest day of his life in terms of
no
permits needed. Just do what you want.
They're out there making, Citizen Toxie Part 8.
Yeah. Yeah, Romeo and Juliet too.
Is Citizen Toxie like a play on Citizen Kane?
Yes, it was actually a better... I have not seen all of them, but like the first Toxic Avenger is palpable. It's like a funny B movie. And then they made a million bad sequels, but then they made one that I actually saw. Someone was like, no, you should check this out. Citizen Toxie, where he runs, I think either for mayor of New York or like maybe president. I don't remember exactly, but it was funny. It was like actually like pretty good. It was like in maybe early 2000s. Yeah.
Does he run a newspaper?
No. I don't think he runs a newspaper, but,
so that's your movie pick. That's your quarantine movie pick. Citizen Foxy. Pat has gone on the record as saying.
I would rewatch it at this point. I mean, we have a couple things in the queue that maybe we'll watch.
Mm-hmm.
Been watching a lot of old Curb episodes because they're short and, you just mm-hmm. something light before you go to sleep.
But,
enjoying
Curb. You like Curb. You got, what are you watching, Mike?
What am I watching? It's just like a blur. I heard you talking about the Criterion Channel, and it's funny that you're going on a search for the bad movies that are on there. And it is hard to find, you know, but, I've been watching they've just put up a bunch of Columbia Noir. It's about 11 or 12 of those movies.
Mm-hmm.
So I've seen some of them, but, there's a few I didn't see, so I've been watching a couple of those. I like those too because most of them are, you know, don't even make it like to an hour and a half. They're short, you know?
That is the funny thing about these old movies. They did not outstay their welcome with a lot of them.
I think that's because a lot of them played back to back with other movies, so they purposely kept them at like 90 minutes or less.
And they had newsreels before the movies,
Right.
You get people in and out also. And I mean, going to the movies used to be such a different experience. You would just walk in, and the whole idea of that phrase of like, this is where I came in, goes back to like people would just leave. They would come in mid movie and you just stay and until the movie would start over and then you'd stay to where you came in.
Yeah.
Like there was like not this preciousness with cinema that eventually became the way you watch a movie. Like you could just go to the movie theater and you'd just kind of hang out there and watch the movie and then just kind of walk in and out whenever you wanted. Jaws, I think, was the first movie where theaters started clearing the room after the screening because people were lined up to see it still and they couldn't just let people stay there all day.
It had to be. Yeah, that was like the first blockbuster, quote unquote, right?
I'm pretty sure Jaws was the one that made theaters change their perspective on that.
But so. I remember going to, when I was going to school in New York, there were some theaters that they still let that concept go. Mm-hmm. Because I remember going to like, they'd have some double features, mm-hmm. And you know, you could go in, you know, and, if you were early, you'd catch the end of the movie before the movie you wanted to see, and there'd be people there, and some people would leave, some people would stay. And, I think, you know, New York was a little more flexible. Some theaters, you know, with that. Because I remember when I saw The Man Who Fell to Earth, mm-hmm. it was a guy, who basically, you could see he was just camped out in the theater for the day. And he was sleeping through most of the movie. And, I think it was a few theaters let it ride for a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I guess when it was just more like the, whatever you would call those, like the second run theaters or the, you know, people call them like the grindhouse theaters, you know, where they didn't care. I don't know. Now, Mike, I got a text from you last night.
Oh yeah.
What was that about?
You know, it's just like texting. It's there now for me. Yeah. You know, I avoided it all these years.
Yeah.
I think I'd like to go back to the old days.
I will say it's super nice to get a text out of the blue from Mike these days.
For folks who don't know, Mike never had a smartphone up until just before this pandemic, right? Or you had one, but you weren't really using it, but now you're all in.
Yeah, I had one, but it was a little behind the times. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, basically they broke me down where it became more annoying not to have a smartphone and to do without. So yeah, they broke me down in 2020.
Yeah, I think you might have been the tipping point. You and your 5G, you, you tipped this thing, Mike. There was one too many people using 5G and this whole thing fell apart. Yeah, you sent me a text. Can I tell people what you texted me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, why don't you tell them?
The first text was, just farted.
Let's say that again.
Just farted.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Just leave it out there, you know?
Yeah, I'm with Tom now.
What did I write back?
Okay.
I wrote back okay with a period. Okay. Like,
yeah.
And then Mike writes, that reminds me. I guess what, farting reminded you of something? That reminds me.
Yeah.
I saw the reboot yesterday. Garbage.
Yeah. So I got into it with Kevin Smith on Twitter a little bit.
You with the actual Kevin Smith?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, Mike, you're back.
Recently? Yeah,
B-Buster. Yeah, B-Buster setting the stage.
Yeah.
Well, no, go ahead. Now tell me more.
No, it was funny because, you know, we're talking about like over like 22 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't changed.
Yeah.
He hasn't changed and I haven't changed.
No. Yeah, no, it's just like the dynamic duo.
Yeah.
Is back. You two, you're sniping at him. What did you say to him?
Well, I think I responded to, I don't know if I ever mentioned to you before. I think I have, but, Chris Lowe, who introduced me to this, the best show.
Yeah.
I became aware of him from the View Askew website,
which was Kevin Smith's old message board community thing.
Yeah. And Chris was very funny on that website. His handle name was Jerry Sizzler. I don't know the origins of that, but he was one of the funny guys. And there was another guy, Brecciono, and the three of us would just sort of go off script. I mean, we weren't even talking about Kevin Smith half the time. We were just doing our own dialogues between the three of us. And it was funny, you know? But it irritated the diehards. They couldn't stand any of us. But at a certain point, they couldn't stand any of us. And so whenever we would post, they would just jump on us. And so I got a little bit of that, on Twitter the other night too. Actually, it wasn't that bad considering what's Kevin Smith got 3 million followers. I mean, it's kind of nuts, but, I got a few people coming after me. So that was funny too.
That's nice.
It
was like the old days again.
A little nostalgia.
So what did Kevin say to you? What did Kevin Smith say to you?
Well, basically, you know, I was complaining that the movie is such an inside joke now. He's like folded his thing in upon itself so many times that somebody just coming in doesn't know what the hell's going on. They don't know what the characters are talking about. It makes no sense to them. Mm-hmm. So I kind of made that comment, and he kind of agreed, saying that, you know, he does make these movies just for his fans now. You know, he said he doesn't make it for newbies. Well, he doesn't want to chase away the newbies, but, you know, how is that encouraging the newbies if people can't understand what the hell the characters are talking about, you know?
Sure. Sure.
So he sort of agreed with me and then disagreed with me. And, you know, then I did give him a compliment. I mean, it's like he's marketing. He's sort of got a head for marketing. And so maybe he realized he had a movie that he couldn't get distribution on. So he'll take it out to the diehards and he probably made more money on it than the last movie he put out with distribution. So, I mean, his marketing is always on the money. know, with the merchandise he sells and all that stuff. I mean, sure. You know, you can't fault him for that.
No. He has his thing. Look, I don't fault him for any. I'm happy that the world supports that there can be platforms that support somebody who's, look, he's doing his thing and it's out. It's not what like the studios want anymore necessarily. But he's found a way to make his stuff. And it's just like, just because it's not in fashion, it's still, there's paths, there's ways to get stuff made for him.
Yeah.
Which I think is a good thing. I mean, it's just like, even if it's not for you, what if it was for you? Then you'd be bummed that there wasn't, that your favorite thing didn't have a way to exist anymore because it's like the Super Bowl mentality where it's like the people that watch the Super Bowl don't watch football the rest of the season. You know what I mean? The people that watch the football season, they watch football, and then all of a sudden all these new people show up for the Super Bowl. Like, you don't want those people driving the narrative, fair weather fans. I don't know. I got no problem with it, Mike.
Okay.
Mike, I've grown, Mike.
But did you laugh? Did you laugh at the movie? Did you find any of it funny?
No, it's not for me. I mean, I actually enjoyed watching it in a strange way, even though it's like, I don't know. I was fine with it in a bizarre way. Perfectly fine. If he's got his people, he's playing to the house. I don't know. There's enough, people have enough access to stuff that they could catch up.
That's true.
They wanted. These movies are not hard to find now. I don't know. There's enough garbage out there that, you know, people might as well get what they want from him. Mike,
sorry.
I don't care. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I just want everybody to be happy. Is that so wrong?
I just like a couple laughs, you know, that would be nice.
You'd like a couple, you didn't laugh at Fred Armisen?
Not really.
No. I'm like, it's not that funny of a movie.
How many of us think that Fred Armisen actually watched this movie?
I don't think he saw it.
No, I don't think he saw it.
Yeah, he didn't see the movie.
No, he was in it. He didn't see it. And the check cleared and he got paid and good for him. I would have been in it. Mike, you were in one of his movies.
I know, yeah. I didn't get paid.
Which one?
Which one?
Jimmy Silent Bob, Strike Back.
Yeah, Mike was at the comic book store in it.
And that scene is almost duplicated in the current one.
Yeah, it's a fun homage to the body of work.
Are you just upset that you weren't brought back for that scene?
I think Jason just hit on I'm gonna say there's something to that
well,
might.
Well, considering I was only paid with the catering, and the catering was just so-so, you know, it wasn't knockout catering. I mean,
did you tell him this?
No.
What was it? Do you remember?
I was trying to be a good sport.
Why don't you tag the most recent tweet that you had with Kevin Smith by saying, and by the way, that catering from 1999 on the set of Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back was terrible, and put terrible in all caps.
No, it wasn't terrible. It was just so-so. That's it. That's the problem.
Well, like a wishy-washy kind of pasta.
Lots of pasta salads. Back to the pasta salads.
Yeah.
Mine was a possum salad. It wasn't pasta salad.
Yeah. Well, good. I'm glad at least you felt at home with, that would be your version of Kevin Smith would be what, Jason? The every which way but loose. Clint Eastwood would run around with an orangutan.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, look, today we came up with a topic that I think is pretty funny, and it will be, we're going to talk about the idea of Netflix. Could more stuff be happening on Netflix now in terms of every show? You started the year with The Circle, and people loved The Circle, and then it went from The Circle to Love is Blind, and that just like, that took off, and then you go from that to, Tiger King, which is everybody on earth has seen Tiger King now. And actually a listener was nice enough to buy the best show, a cameo from one of the principals of Tiger King. Did you see that, Mike?
I did. Yeah. That was very nice.
Yeah.
I mean, $100 seemed a little steep to me, but, wasn't my money.
And who was the character again?
It was the woman who was attacked by the tiger and lost her arm.
Who I think now identifies as he. I believe I'm not 100. And I'm trying to remember this person's name. Do you know Pat or Jason?
The person that bought it, or the person from Tiger person King?
From Tiger King.
It says it's Kelsey Saffery.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not sure. Let me play the audio. And I think, yeah, let's find it. Oh, can you play the audio on your end?
I don't, let me try.
Let's see. And do we have any calls?
We do.
Okay.
Let's see if this works, guys. Ready?
Here we go. All right. This is from Tiger King, the zoo worker whose hand was chomped off.
Do you hear that?
No.
Oh, you don't? Okay. There we go. Yeah, it's not playing then.
Okay.
Yeah, we can't play through this. We'll edit it in.
We'll edit it in. It's very sweet, and I appreciate it. It's very thoughtful. So thank you, Best Show listeners, once again for being incredibly impressive and getting to see what is it again? It's Saffery.
Yeah, Saff. I don't know.
Saff. I think it's Saff. Yeah, I'm.
Someone got this for you, Tom.
I'm not.
They got
sure.
It for all of us.
For all of us. You're mentioned on it also, Pat.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I'm not looking to misgender. So I don't want to. Say, I'll be clearer on that, but, so it was very flattering to see that. Let's see. Did you watch any of this Tiger King? They did an after show.
Watched it last night.
Yeah. Which seemed, pretty impressive. Featuring Joel McHale on it, who, maybe should, spend some of that money on, I don't know, a new camera or something. You're in trouble when the guy that Mike refers to as old Kurt Cobain has better lighting than the millionaire star of Community and,
What was it? It was a Zoom production?
I don't know. I wanted to zoom out. I don't know what was going on with Joel McHale. Looked like I'm curious what he's talking all about the tigers and stuff. It looked like he had a little tiger crawled on top of his head.
I felt bad, you know, while we're on this topic. Have you guys seen any of Chris Gethard's after the wrestling thing?
I have not. Yeah.
Okay.
Why is
but
that?
They were doing it with Zoom.
Yeah.
And yeah, his guests had great lighting, mm-hmm. but Chris was like, he was orange. He had like some bad lighting thing going on. I hope somebody got to him. I only saw one episode, but, mm-hmm. felt the same thing. I was like, wow, get some better lighting for Chris. He's the star of the show, right?
You hear that, Chris? You know when AP Mike questions your production values.
Send when AP out Mike, Chris Gethard, yeah.
When AP Mike calls you on the carpet for your production values, you got to take a serious look in the mirror. I didn't see it. I don't know. I'm sure Chris has a reason. Chris cares about quality, and everybody's scrambling. These are desperate times. But Chris, AP Mike is telling you to step it up in terms of the get a new camera.
I think it may just be the lamp he's using. It's very dim and, you know, casting a weird orange glow on him.
Because he's got – okay, so, look, I don't know. He's got enough characters in his life, whether it's what's a fish face or the other one, Murph.
Are we talking about now?
What's that? Gethard.
Oh, Chris Gethard.
Yeah. Chris Gethard show – this guy Fishface, who was the announcer on the thing, he might have some kind of like he doesn't have a light he could bring over Chris's place. Also, some of these Gethard people, I think they're operating outside of the quarantine. Also, some of the hardcore fans, I think they'll buck the quarantine to get Chris. To get Chris some lighting.
There was a couple of worthy lines from Joel in that production, though. Did you watch the whole thing, Tom?
I did, yes. He was... Yeah.
He was all right, but there was a couple of lines that I was like, ooh.
Yeah, no, he was trying to... I like when he was like, you kind of have a look like you're from like a Western with a thing. It's like...
Yeah.
But he was missing like the title of a Western, like the joke. It's supposed to say like, you look like you're from True Grit.
Yeah. That would have been
like,
fine.
Looks like you just walked in from some sort of mythical Western.
Yeah.
It's like, you care to name the Western? You're going to do reference comedy. Load some references up cheap. Right? Right? Get some references in the chamber there, Chief.
I was hoping that they would have gotten the Scarface guy back on the he I thought was the most reasonable person out of all of the Tiger owners in that whole show. That he didn't have a lot of airtime. I don't think that he allowed much of an interview, but the guy who was allegedly the character that they based Scarface on was in the first couple episodes, I think. He was the most reasonable one out of all of those owners, I thought.
But I think he died, didn't he?
Did he die?
I thought he was dead, that guy.
No, he was interviewed in the first couple episodes of the series.
I thought that was like his son or something.
Was it his son?
Wait, yeah, which guy? What?
Scarface.
Scarface?
Yeah.
I think that was his son that was interviewed. But
no,
they were talking about
that was
they were talking. Well, all right.
Oh my God! This is where I've gotten now. I can't follow Tiger King. It's too much.
Do you remember that character that was allegedly based off of Scarface?
No, I don't.
He was there to.
Oh, that guy. Yes. Yeah, I remember. I know. Yeah.
To me, he was the most reasonable out of all the owners of these animals.
Oh, you mean the guy who was like a mass murderer?
Yeah. He was technically a mass murderer and proven. And he was at large the one that I thought loved these animals the most and gave them the most respect.
Yeah. I think he's still alive. I just think he didn't want to talk anymore. Right. Yeah,
I think that they got like one day of shooting with him and he kind of like talked some smack about the other people that the documentary centered about, talked about his own problems, and then he was out. But like, In hindsight, when you look at all the people that the show focused on, I'm like, yeah, that guy who smuggled drugs and was a potential murderer, like that was the most reasonable one.
Yeah, that was, it's really a sea of trash. And I don't say that in terms of class or anything like that. I just say stuff in terms of like being mean to animals. It's just like, and like capitalizing on animals is such a gross thing that. And I like how there's a really funny thing where people are like, who would be in the movie playing you in the movie? And then it's like the one guy, old Kurt Cobain, Mike, on this thing, they ask him about who should play him in the movie. And
yeah.
Like, somebody says, like, you have a similarity to Vince Neil from Motley Crue, and he gets so offended. He's like, those guys suck. He's just so mad at that.
It's kind of an insult.
Yeah. Of the idea of equating the music with, like, equating himself with Molly, with Vince Neil. He hated it. So he did not like it. No, I don't know. I'm ready for, I think I'm ready for the Tiger King. I think I'm, like, I like it. Oh, they're going to make a movie. Be, Rob Lowe and Matthew McConaughey will be in. It's like, this movie will come out and five people are going to see it because everybody's going to be so sick of Tiger King by that point. Like, it'd be like Snakes on a Plane. Remember Snakes on a Plane? People are like, what if the snake goes and does the thing? And then they're like, great, we're going to put that in the movie. Cool. We'll have the snakes do that. And we want him, like, this new, but he should be like, I'm tired of those MFing snakes on this, you know, like, it's just like, that's a great line. We'll put that in. And they added all these things. And then the movie made $95 the week it came out because it was just an internet joke to people.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't want to go see it in the theater. Oh. I don't want to go watch that for 2 hours, a movie that the public basically dictated to the filmmakers. They don't want that. So, yeah. So Netflix, though, it's huge. So we were talking about coming up with what could be the next big Netflix show. Then you come up with it, you explain it. I extended the offer to the listeners also. So let's see what the callers have to say. How about that?
All right. Okay. Here we go. Putting in a call right now. You're on.
Hello. Oh, hi.
Hi. To whom am I speaking?
This is Mary from Lansdale.
Mary from Lansdale. How are you doing? It's good to hear from you.
Oh, it's good to hear you, Tom.
I hope you're
all right. It's been a long time. Well, not that long.
You seem like you're definitely riding the ride with this experience, and things are up and things are down. I look at your Twitter and I worry about you, Mary.
Oh, dear. I'm doing good today, though, you know.
You're doing good. That's good.
And I'm lucky. I'm lucky because, you know, I still have a job, and, you know, I'm working next to my husband in our little home office. And, you know, when I put it in perspective, it could be a lot worse.
Sure. Well, I'm glad that's how you feel about it. I'm glad all you can have is perspective. I guess it's, if you don't have anything else, a perspective can at least help you just get through the days, maybe. So,
yeah.
I hope that's where you're
at. How are you, Tom?
Oh, I'm okay. I'm okay. I'm fine. Just, you know.
Good.
Trying to get it all done while wondering what the world's going to look like. It's very strange.
It really is. And, yeah, that's when the insomnia kicks in, but, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you just get up the next day and keep going.
Yeah, that's all you can do. Mike, that's exactly all you can do. Did you watch Jay and Silent Bob reboot?
I have not seen it. I mean, I do. In fact, I even have because, you know, we all make odd trip purchases in our life. I do have Jay and Silent Bob Strikes Back. So when I found out that Mike was in it, I was just like, oh, my God, where? And so then I had to go and find him in the comic book store.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, but not, I have not seen.
You've not seen Mike's part of it?
Oh, no, I have. I have now since. And just been like, oh my God, he was there the whole time.
He was there the whole time, yes. The telltale list.
But that's the last actual Kevin Smith movie I've seen.
Okay.
Which is kind of a shame because I heard Red State's pretty good. And I love a John Goodman movie, so, you know, there are actually movies I want to catch up on, but no, I've not caught to the reboot.
Okay. Well, Mike, on a scale of 1 to 10, what do you give it?
3.
3 on a scale of 1 to 10. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, which is a little...
I've seen worse.
You've seen worse, yeah. There's plenty of room for worse than 3.
So is that like better or worse than Tusk?
I haven't seen that.
You haven't seen Tusk, Mike?
No.
Well, why don't you watch Tusk and talk about it next week?
Are you trying to torture me?
Sorry, Mike.
It's like punishment for that late night text.
Are you blaming me? Yeah, exactly.
It was just farted? Was that the text?
It said just farted with a period after. And I said, okay.
He just asks me when we're recording. He doesn't give me any updates on any of that.
I was like, oh, he clearly sent this to the wrong person. wrong person. And then I realized, no, that was all right. He sent it to exactly who he wanted to see it.
What time was this?
What time was it, Mike?
I don't know. It was 11:30 in there, I think.
Yeah, it's not early.
Yeah.
No, look, I'm into it. I like seeing what Mike's up to.
That's gonna be my hello in text. You know, I'll just that's how I'll open up a conversation.
Well, just great. There you go.
Yeah.
I like. So, Mary, we're talking about this Netflix stuff.
Yes.
And all the hit shows. Have you watched The Circle, for example?
I have not. And I've only seen one episode of Tiger King.
Okay.
That's going to be I think I might watch the rest of it just because I am kind of intrigued by true crime, but I'm a little weirded out how people are kind of like, oh, he's a folk hero. I'm like, no, he is not. So, but no, there's a lot of the big Netflix. Like I've never even seen Orange is the New Black.
Mm-hmm.
You know, wow. Like I am years behind on things.
Well, now's the time to catch up.
Yeah. But I have an idea on what Netflix should do next.
What's that?
Well, okay. So I was thinking about, you know, Adam Schlesinger died last week.
Yes. Very sad. That's horrible.
I was crying. I mean, you know, and then like John Prine dies like 2 days later and I was just a wreck. But you know, he wrote, the music for My Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And so my thought is Netflix should really get into musicals.
Okay.
I'm serious. Like, this isn't even a joke. Like, Gen Z and younger millennials love musical theater.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that is apparently a thing. They know, like, because when I was their age, the only musicals that were around was, like, Les Mis and Rent, I guess. So, mm-hmm. like, I kind of missed all that. But, like, now I meet these people who are, like, you know, 20 years younger than me, and they all know all these shows. And it's all, you know, Wicked and Hamilton and Dear Evan Hansen and all this stuff. And I'm like, well, I have, you know, 90% of that is over my head. But they should totally go into musical TV shows. It's been done before, mm-hmm. sometimes done great, like, you know, A Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, sometimes weird off the rails, like Cop Rock, which I'm probably one of like 3 people who remembers, but they should totally go into, musicals.
Okay. And what is a musical they would do well with?
I don't know. The first thing that popped into my head was Infinite Jest, which is a book I've never read.
Okay.
But it's long, so they could get a whole series.
You're proposing an Infinite Jest musical.
Yes.
I'm going to say that's pretty good. Mike, have you read Infinite Jest?
You know, I got about 11 pages into it, and I just don't like his writing style, you know? He did something that really irritated me is he's using likes. You know how people have that bad verbal tic to mm-hmm. throw like into sentences. He was doing it in his book. And I was kind of appalled that he was doing it. Yeah, I was kind of appalled he was doing it. I was like, are you kidding me? But there it was, you know, he did it a couple times. And I was, it was conscious. I mean, everything that guy does is thought out, you know?
Yeah.
So it surprised me. Well, let's put it that way.
So
plus it wasn't moving around. I mean, it was slow. A friend of mine who's read it basically told me that you have to read like 300 or 400 pages before it gets really interesting.
Okay.
So maybe one day, I don't know. That's a lot of
but mileage. This is...
I don't have time for that. You got to hook me in the first 10, like a Dan Brown novel.
Yeah, like a Dan Brown novel.
Yep. You start running on page 5. You run throughout the entire book.
There you go. Well, you hear that, authors? Working on something. You gotta please the crowd.
Yeah.
You gotta please the crowd. You think Dudio's got all day to sit there?
Yeah.
No.
I don't have time to read.
Get your characters moving and jumping around. Hey, who's got the cuckoo clock?
Oh, that's mine.
That was impressive.
I've called in before and it's gone off, so I keep forgetting to shut the chime off.
You hear that, Mike? A cuckoo clock?
That's pretty cool.
Maybe that's what you
I thought that she was subtly calling doo-doo cuckoo for the Dan Brown line.
Did you just call me doo-doo?
There you go.
Oh, no.
He just said doo-doo.
He said doo-doo.
How do you think about that?
He said doo-doo and immediately went on mute.
Jason Doo-Doo Gore.
I don't like it. I don't like it.
I don't either.
No.
No, I said
the
cuckoo.
The show is taking a turn.
You said doo-doo. You said cuckoo and doo-doo.
Oh, it's fine, Pat. Don't worry. I'm in favor of it.
You guys do.
Yeah, I would say so. Musical, an Infinite Jest musical. You think that would get the kids going on Netflix?
It's like 1,000 pages long, and you can just make all the boring parts into the lyrics, and people just kind of accept it.
Okay.
Yeah, you're tapping into two audiences. Actually, you're tapping into the musical crowd, and also the, you know, those smarter than thou people who've read the book, and you know, always want to let you know they've read it. Mm-hmm. And they'll be criticizing it. They'll be hate watching it or enjoying it, you know, depending which way it goes.
And you know, the thing that people don't they always lose track of. It's just like when you've got a property that's like from a book, and then they're like that has like a huge fan base. Like say like Watchmen, for example. You know, the comic book graphic novel that forever, like when they made that movie Watchmen, they were like, oh, we got to make it authentic. We got to make it just like the comic. It's like, why? It's like those people are going to watch it regardless. You already got them on board. It's like, you don't have to dance for the super fans of the thing. They're going to watch the thing. Make the best thing you can make. And
they still didn't.
Can't make it be slavish to the source material. That never ends up good. Just make the best. That's why they always say that, like, in the history of film, it's just like the best adaptations are usually somebody takes something that's kind of crummy and adapts it to a movie. Like you can take like a junky book and turn it into a great movie. You know what I mean? Have you heard that theory?
Anyone? Yeah, no. I mean lots of like B movies, like classic B movies come from books that are just like pulp novels, you know? Yeah, yeah. They're not well known. But on the other hand, you know, you got me thinking about, to me, the best book adaptation that I would say was Slaughterhouse-Five. Okay. I think the book is great on its own. It's great on its own level. And then the movie was just, they did their own thing with it, but it's great too. You know, I thought that was probably my favorite adaptation where I was happy with both, you know, the movie and the book.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it's like when you think of something like The Godfather even, like, nobody has respect for the source material on that. They were like popular. They were popular books. They were not.
They were Dan Brown books of its era.
Yeah, that or like Jaws. Jaws was like, nobody thinks Jaws is like one of the best written books.
It was a huge book. Everything.
Oh, it's huge. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But it's like popular, like kind of pulpy stuff, like you said. But it's like, you're not taking the classics and adapting them. And then you look at like, doing like a movie of Catch-22, for example, and then you have the hardest time because you have this thing that you're never gonna beat the book.
Yeah.
You're never gonna like outclass a book like that with your movie. I don't know. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
What's the best adaptation you can think of like a great book that became a great movie?
Lonesome Dove.
Lonesome Dove. Was that Larry McMurtry?
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Okay.
I think they're both equally good.
Okay. I haven't read the book. I've read other Larry McMurtry books.
Mm-hmm.
He's a good writer. You know, he's not trashy. But that series is great.
Okay.
What about No Country? No Country for Old Men.
Yeah, that was very good. But I would say that's not his best novel. I mean, you can tell.
Well, that's fair.
Some of his later books seem to be written for, you can see like he's almost writing them for movies.
Mm-hmm.
That one and the, what's the other one? The End of the World one.
The Road.
The Road, yes, yeah. Those almost seem like he wrote them to be movies, you know?
Mm-hmm. Which starts to happen with those guys. I mean, it's like, look, I know Elmore Leonard is not considered like high art, but he's a solid writer.
Yeah.
But I think his stuff immediately started to suffer when it finally started succeeding in film. Cause then he started kind of tailoring it a little bit. He also got old too, so it's hard to say. You know, he had such a long run of just good stuff. But then when like Get Shorty blew up, then suddenly the books seemed like they were kind of made to be movies, not made to just be the best books they could. I don't know. That makes, what do you think? You have any thoughts on that, Mike?
Well, I don't think I've read some of the later, well, actually, no, I have read some of the later ones. And, they hold up. I mean, he's consistent. You know, I think he's very consistent. I didn't really pick up on a drop off, you know. I don't know. I don't think I read like To Shamingo Blues. Have you read that one?
Yeah, I did. I think the drop off with him started at like Cuba Libre would be the first one where it was kind of like, okay.
It's fine. I haven't read that.
And then they just were kind of like perfectly fine.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Be Cool was not particularly great. It's an interesting thing. Well, Mary, we're going to take some more calls. Keep this moving here because we got a lot of calls to get through. But I appreciate your call and I'm glad you're doing okay.
Thank you, Tom. Have a good night, guys.
Take care.
Bye.
Okay, bye.
All right, next call.
Yes, please.
You are on.
Yeah, I'm calling in with the next great Netflix show.
Who's this?
Sorry, get everything out of order. This is Dan in New York.
How are you doing, Dan?
I'm good. How's it going, Tom?
I'm okay. What's the Netflix thing you got? What do you got?
You know, I got a couple of them that I wanted to run by you. The first one which I think is pretty good. It's called Sorry About Your Van.
Okay.
It's like a van life show, as you know. That.
Tell me more about Sorry About Your Van.
So a lot of people are customizing vans to live in, and you know this. I've heard you. I thought I heard you talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
I take whatever van they already have, you know, in an episode, say like they have a minivan. These are like some normal folks and they want to sort of embark on the van life. And I customize it to make it into sort of a hip van life type of setup. But the hook is, I don't know what I'm doing. Like, this is new to me. It's really kind of one of these, it's hard to tell who's helping who situations that everyone seems to think is really heartwarming.
Okay. So
you know, I don't know. Right. Or it's even in your driveway. Like, oh, hey, hi, Tom, is this your van here? You're about to embark on van life, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then I start customizing it for you. And this will all be done off camera.
But you have no idea.
I don't know how to customize them.
And
you know, and then.
What do you want the end result to be? You wanted the look of horror on my face when I see you ruined my van?
I think that's part of it. But I also think, you know, I think it's one of these things where I have just as many questions about this as you would have for me type of thing. And we work through it and you might be helping me with my sort of depression or anxiety about not being able to, you know, to finish the project. So you kind of, you know, the person, I keep saying you, but the person on the show kind of comforts me and we kind of learn together how to, like, you know, get the back seat back in there after I cut it out or how to get the roof back on because maybe I took it partially off with like an arc welder or something.
So we go on
YouTube type of thing. We wouldn't call it YouTube because that's probably a Netflix conflict. But.
Yeah. Yeah, no, wouldn't. But you would say on this show you're proposing to me, at partway through, I end up having to make you feel better about this experience, even though you ruined my van.
I mean, yeah, that's a good way of putting it. I mean, that's a good way to put it. I would say that's like a sort of. I got a bunch of them because you know you've worked in the business and you've been in a lot of these meetings and you know as well. As I do, that the next thing they say is, you know, what other ideas do you have?
Uh-huh.
You know how they, and I don't know about you, but at that moment in the meetings, I'm always sitting there going, it's just it. Where's your van? That's my only idea, you know, but I have a couple others I could just spitball, you know, if you don't like that, sounds like you didn't like it. I'm not good at reading the room. My girlfriend says that's the spectrum-y thing about me.
You know what
this show sounds like to me? What was the name of the show with the father and son doing the customized bikes?
They would yell at each other.
Yeah. This is.
I don't like.
This is like the anti that. Uh-huh. You know, OC choppers, whatever it was.
I like this.
That's what this is. This is like you're sort of inept in doing the customization, and basically the customers have to sort of help you through your troubles. It's like the complete opposite of that chopper show.
American Chopper.
American Chopper.
Yeah. American Chopper. That sounds fine, but can we? Chopper. I like that as a log line, but can we all agree right now that there won't be any yelling? I don't deal well with.
Well, you won't be yelling, but the customers will be yelling.
Yeah, they're going to be yelling at you. Where do you get off? You trash someone's van.
Yeah.
You don't want yelling also?
Oh, this is like the Chopper Show. Listen to Tom.
Oh, what are you giving me? That you give me a hard time?
Well, no, but you know, I want us to work on, look,
my friend. I get it. I see what you're doing.
Uh-huh.
You give me the business a little bit. That's fine.
No, I'm not. See, Tom, I don't want to do that.
Yes.
This is not what the show's about. This is not. That show's been done.
No, but it's not what the show's about, but it's what you're about. You're giving me a hard time. It's okay. I'm rolling with it.
No.
Tom,
this is good. Let's keep working through this because I feel like this could be maybe in our pilot pitch. No. I didn't mean to upset pilot you.
Pitch. Oh, so you're just some industry dude. Listen, pilot.
Well, I'm trying to be an industry.
Isn't that what it is?
A pilot pitch?
Yeah.
Okay, this is already this. I feel like this didn't. This isn't going great, and then we should. Can I run us a couple more by you so we don't end on a bad note?
Give me another thing, yeah.
Okay, because I want something that works for both of us and it doesn't feel, you know, I think, look, let's all agree, this yelling at each other thing about customizing stuff has been done and let's let them have done it. Forget
but
it.
But it's a classic.
Here's one.
Yeah, let's find it. What are we going to forget about? Car chases and action movies next?
This is why I need you guys. This is why I need you guys because I get too soft and I quit early.
Yeah, no, you're
all right. It's back on. It's back on.
And don't take this the wrong way. If we got this thing going, you'd be removed from it.
That's fine.
You'd be identified as the problem, which I'm going to say
is
probably the best position to be in. Because you'd be the guy who just collects a paycheck, but we don't want you anywhere near production.
That's fine.
I would
this
that
is already. I feel like. Hey, how about this for a follow up? I'm fired off the show almost immediately. What do? I go customize my own vehicle, live in it, and start filming that adventure. So we have something to follow up on.
All right, Charlie Kaufman, spare me
one more.
Spare me the meta angle.
All right. What about, well, this is weird. It says fishing with a question mark. Fishing? And
yeah,
this is just weird.
What are you, Alan Parker?
The show where someone takes me fishing, but I'm not comfortable with it. I didn't like the sounds of that one. Here's a good one. This one has, what do they say? Teeth. Legs.
Yeah.
It's got something. This is called, why is this thing special? I remember what I was thinking here. So, okay, check this out. People show me something from their home. And they do a little storytelling thing about why it's important to them and how maybe their family lore says how much it's worth and it's been passed down and this and that. And then I tear the whole thing down with facts and appraisals that a producer or somebody is feeding me into an earpiece, you know? So it's like, oh, well, you know, I'm glad three generations of your family loved this, whatever it is, this vase or this gun or wig. But I have some good news for you today, Stephanie. Not all fake or falsely attributed items are intentional forgeries. So you can't be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. That's good news. Essentially a lot of, clothing and luxury bags or wigs in a mannequin arm like this, have been made for less expensive labels and meant to replicate like the more expensive stuff. And that's what you have here is a fake thing that isn't worth much money. But the good news is you can't be prosecuted because your family didn't have intent.
So this is the anti-antique roadshow.
Why do I feel like all of my stuff has been done?
You're into anti.
What about
anti,
this?
Universe.
Is it anti?
I have a good name for that show.
All right.
Knockout Knickknacks.
I mean,
or it could just be called Intent.
You're both good.
You're coming off like a narc. I don't like it.
Okay.
That was the one with legs.
It's like you're going to be the good guy who turns. You're like the good. You're like playing good cop on this one. Don't worry, I'm not going to turn you in. Don't worry, but just But you're still like swinging your authority all over the place.
Right. All right. Let's not do that. What about something like this? It's just me, a stage, and a microphone, and I talk about stuff that's on my mind.
Uh-huh. And you talk about what's on your, what, say that again?
It's just, it would be like me in a stage and a microphone.
Yeah.
And I just talk about the stuff that is on my mind, you know.
Okay.
Have they done that? Is that a thing they do?
What are you, Spalding Gray? Now I got it.
He's pulling our chain.
Now this guy's giving me the bad look. It's fine. I get it. He's teasing me. You're giving me a hard time. I get it. I support it. But just realize I see what you're. No.
Tom,
yeah, I know.
Tom,
yeah,
here's what you're trying to do to every idea. You're trying to make it combative because you were impressed with this chopper show.
I didn't say one thing.
But we don't have to be combative.
I didn't say one thing whether I didn't say whether I watched that chopper show or not. I didn't say anything about it.
Yeah, I was the one talking about the chopper show.
Yeah, I talked about the chopper show too.
Does your last pitch involve a guy having e-cigs for legs?
You're too loud, Pat.
You're real loud, Pat.
Pat?
Yes.
That's what you just got. If you could back up a tiny bit.
Okay.
That's all. I almost could hear the coins jingling. From the other room. Coins back in Jersey City, I could hear. Now, I want to say to this guy, like, you're a Weisenheimer.
Wait, but guys.
But.
You know what? Can I just surprise you? Can I throw a terrible twist into this whole situation?
E-cigs for legs.
I don't. Let's forget about. I don't want to do it. I don't want to pitch anything. I would rather be friends than enter into this combative situation. You know, over the ideas, over the shows. Because everybody's, you know, you'll be fired first and you'll get a paycheck, but we'll have the show. And like, it just, you know.
This isn't e-cigs, by the way. This the area code doesn't match up.
Okay.
There's some guy who usually calls, and at some point the Rick Roll just says something about e-cigs.
You mean like you just did?
No. Oh, God. Everyone's so defensive over there.
Yeah.
Yep.
Look, my friend. What was your name again?
Dan.
That's not what you said.
Yeah, Tom, my God. You're being so defensive. That's the what? I made up a fake name?
That was a trick. You didn't. I wanted to see what you said to that when I accused you of. I wanted to see if you even knew what you were doing with your bringing to my show.
Dear God. Are you guys all right?
I like how you're putting yourself as if you're somehow the victim in this. you're acting like you're being victimized by me for giving you a hard time for your shenanigans. Cause I got a line on you. I got a line on you. My name might as well be Randy California because I got a line on you. I get that one. You get that one, Mike?
No, but I liked it though.
There's a guy from Spirit.
Okay.
And Spirit that had the song I got.
Pat, AP Mike, love you guys. Keep up the awesome work.
Well, I love you too. What's your name?
Have an amazing night.
Yeah, thanks for mentioning me there, Dan. Good stuff.
Are you just waiting for the moment where you go, yeah, I love you too. What's your name again? And I'm like, Steve.
No, I am. All right, Dan. Thanks for the call. Be safe. How many other calls we got?
We got two calls in queue right now.
I'd like to announce that I'm officially retiring from the show after that call.
Okay. You know that guy, don't you?
No, I've never wanted
to. That's not your buddy?
That feels like it's a friend.
No, no.
I thought that was your buddy Dan.
No, no. His voice is a little more gravelly. A lot more gravelly.
Huh.
All right.
And he wouldn't have been on that long.
No, he would have stepped it up also.
Big time.
Well, Mike, who has a pitch they want to mention for this in-house right now before we take these two calls?
I got one.
Let's hear it.
So it is a show that has either two names.
Mm-hmm.
So it's either called Undercover Me or Doubtfire. And basically, you have to start a new life in your hometown. And interact with your family, coworkers, friends without them discovering it's you. You would have access to Hollywood's top makeup artists and dialect coaches, and you still have to maintain your own life at the same time.
Okay.
So you have to be this new character that entered your friends and coworkers and everything's life while also being yourself. And if you can get through 6 weeks without them saying, "Hey, are you?" You win $50,000.
And you're in makeup and stuff, but who do they think you are?
It's like you make up a character.
But how come they're letting you in the life?
Oh, I mean, there has to be you'd have to figure out a way to get into their life.
Like you're going
to
say, like, hey, mom and dad, hang out with this guy.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be around.
Well, it's like Mrs. Doubtfire
gotcha.
Yeah. It's basically real life Mrs. Doubtfire.
Okay.
But you have to do both. You'd have to play both sides. And if you don't get caught, you win the money.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Nobody's going to figure out that you're never in the same room together with the other guy.
You got to play, like, you can do a text while you're sitting there.
Uh-huh. So you're always going to be like running out of the room to get into the costume.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Interesting.
Yeah.
Mike says interesting.
Yeah. I think it's got legs, guys.
All right.
It's not dismantling a van.
Yeah. Do you have any ideas, Mike?
I had an idea for called, you know, everybody's sick of murderers, you know? I mean, that's like the go-to, you know, murderers, you know, it's like never ending.
Yeah.
Well, I wanted to like.
And first of all, can someone please pull Mike's name?
Yes.
Murderers.
I got a never ending on it. Yeah.
Murderers. It's never ending.
Murderers.
We need a timestamp on that.
So I want to give a little attention to the stop law. So it's sort of a true crime show.
Uh huh.
About a young man wrongly accused of a hit and run accident.
Yeah.
It's a twist on The Fugitive, which, you know, young people don't know about The Fugitive anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, for people who know The Fugitive, they'll pick up on it. So the story begins with our hero, Jimmy Jenkins, trying to get his roommate to give him a ride to the DMV to pick up his license. Mm-hmm. He's had his license suspended for, too many speeding tickets.
Okay.
And his roommate refuses to give him a ride. You know, he's playing a computer game instead.
Uh-huh.
So Jimmy, you know, takes the chance. You know, he drives to the DMV, but lo and behold, as he's on the way, he witnesses a hit and run accident. A young boy returning from a birthday party on his bike is hit by a pickup truck.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy had caught a fleeting glimpse of the driver when the pickup truck had passed him. And the driver had given him the finger for driving too slow.
Okay.
So instinctively, Jimmy pulls over to see if he can help the young boy. But, you know, he's got the party favor in his mouth. You know, that thing that unfurls and then comes back. What is that called?
That thing?
Yeah, that thing.
A little noise.
Literally, you see him take his last breath on the party favor.
Okay.
So now another car stops at the scene. And Jimmy panics. He freaks out. He thinks he's going to get accused of hitting the boy, one. And then, you know, he's aware that he doesn't have a license, which weighs heavily on his decision. And he panics. And he flees the scene.
Okay.
He abandons his car. and vows never to drive again.
Okay.
And he vows that he'll find the driver who caused the accident.
Okay.
So then each episode, well, here's the twist. In The Fugitive, the real killer was a one-armed man.
Yeah.
Jimmy's dilemma is that the driver of the pickup truck,
yeah,
is a fat guy with a beard.
Okay.
So a fat guy with a beard, you know, it's like never ending. You know, it's finding a fat guy in a beard in America is like, you know, a needle in a haystack. So his plan in each episode, he goes to a place where he thinks there'll be a large gathering of fat guys with beards.
Okay.
So he goes to bars.
Mm-hmm.
He goes to hockey games. He mm-hmm. goes to professional wrestling events.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know.
Guided by Voices shows.
What's that?
Guided by Voices shows.
Yeah.
Guided by Voices shows. Lumberjack competitions, you know, yeah. That type of stuff. You get it. So each episode, he'll sort of be going to one of these events.
Guided by Voices shows. I'm sorry. That just. I just don't want that to, I don't want Jason's wit to get lost here. Okay. So go ahead, Mike.
So in each episode, he goes to one of these places where the chances are high he might see the person, but uh-huh. also, you know, he'll befriend somebody, and over the course of the episode, you know, some situation's going to arise where he's going to be confronted by some event that's he's going to have to drive, you know, uh-huh. like in one episode, you know, there's a guy, he's got a broken arm. A guy is driving his wife. He's in the back seat. Okay. His wife is pregnant and the driver gets into a fender bender and he's injured. And, okay. you know, but the car can still drive, but, you know, instead of stepping in and helping out the situation, Jimmy Jenkins just flees the scene.
Mm-hmm.
You know, rather than drive, he's still haunted by, you know, driving when he shouldn't have driven. And so he can't drive. And you have to set up all these scenarios. Like a friend of his goes into a diabetic coma. Instead of driving him to the hospital, you know, he just makes a call and then he slips out of the house. And he always disappears at the end. Remember, David Jensen would sort of go on to the next town. That's the way, you know, Jimmy Jenkins, you know, he'll be confronted in these scenes.
And, you mean like in The Incredible Hulk?
I guess, well, I never really watched that show. But yeah,
sad music. He goes from town to town.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Well, that's what The Fugitive was too. I mean,
okay.
He was going from town to town. And then, of course, you've got the obsessed guy who's trying to track down, you know, the uncle of the boy who was killed is obsessed with finding Jimmy Jenkins. So you got him sort of, you know, tailing him, but getting close, but just missing him and that type of thing to keep the series going. And so, yeah, that's essentially the show. And then there'll be a big reveal at the end. Anybody, see what the big reveal will be?
He's a fat guy with a beard.
Yeah. The guy who's tailing him is tailing him because he's the fat guy with the beard.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah. A little twist at the end.
And what are you calling that again?
The Scoff Law.
The Scoff Law.
Got a good title.
I like it.
Okay. The Scoff Law. All right. Well, do you want to do one, Jason? I have a couple.
Pat, do you have one?
Yeah, I got a couple.
What's your one? Pat. I already did one.
Okay. You guys can hear me all right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So America's Next Gyro Lady. It's a panel made up of top Greek restaurant owners, and they have to choose America's next top gyro lady.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I like that a lot. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say this. What if we change the name is the only thing I'm going to say. Gyro Hero.
Yeah, I love it.
That's great.
Are you inspired by a particular person who makes good gyros, Pat?
No, not at all. I'm just talking about the weird poster that's always on the side of these places.
Okay.
Yeah, it's always got a different gyro lady from a different era. It always seems to be looking like it's a faded late 80s, early 90s
model. Like a pretty lady holding like a gyro.
Yes, with like a French manicure.
Yeah, like they could also be the same day they shot like the posters for the library to tell kids to read.
Yep.
The same day they shot the gyro, the Euro poster. Yeah.
I think that would be a little gyro? Late.
It's Euro.
It's Giro?
Yeah.
I say gyro, but
I've said gyro, but I've heard Giro, you know. And
I used to say gyro until I was at a Greek restaurant and they forcefully said Euro. Yes. And I was like, okay, I'll never make that mistake again.
But Giro Hero works really well.
Yeah, that's really good. Yeah.
And then I have one other quick one.
What is it?
This was kind of like a... I think I jokingly pitched this on a very old half hour power when we were riffing about weird bad podcast ideas. So this would be the reality show version of that.
Okay.
Rush on Rush. It's like a real world Big Brother style reality show that puts two contestants in a house. One is a huge Rush Limbaugh fan. The other is a huge fan of the band Rush, and they have to live together. Survive a bunch of challenges and just go, you know, whatever it is, two, three, four weeks, surviving this home together.
Uh huh. Well, I like that.
And maybe see what they have in common. Who knows? Yeah. Rush on Rush.
Rush on Rush, I think, is a home run. Euro Hero is a home run.
I've got another one.
What do you got?
It's called Love or the Boat. Yeah. And 24 single men and women board a cruise ship to find love. But while they're sleeping, the rest of the passengers and crew disembark, leaving the 24 to staff and pilot the ship themselves.
Oh, this is the greatest show I've ever heard.
Will they band together to get the ship to Miami? Will they find love in the process? Will the boat sink? Find out on season one of Love or the Boat.
That is the most amazing twist.
Like that.
Do we have any calls? I'd love that. That's Love or the Boat.
Love or the Boat.
And then now they're forced to just be like, how do you steer a boat?
Yeah.
I think you're really attractive.
Yeah. Let's work the engine room together.
Yeah. Why don't we go try to figure out how
let's
to
look on some manuals together.
Yeah. Let's go look for some manuals together.
they'll all be on their phones, right? They'll all be looking
for at sea, Mike. Mike, you know that. You're on a cruise ship. You're a cruise ship aficionado. You're one of the people that's cheering on Trump for saving the cruise ship industry.
Yeah, they didn't pay for Wi-Fi, Mike.
No, there's no Wi-Fi.
For the free drinks.
Yeah, there's no Wi-Fi. Well, you'd have to get that in there because they'd all be on their phones the whole show.
Yeah. Do we have any calls?
Yeah, we do. Let's do it.
Let's see what some callers say. Let's take how many do we have?
This one is one of three.
Okay, we'll do
hey
one
there.
Right now.
Okay.
Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
Besha, welcome. Who's this?
This is Sean from Washington, so thank you for having me. I'm a pretty recent listener, so kind of excited to be on.
Well, it's exciting to have you here, Sean. Where are you calling from again?
Washington, up kind of near Seattle in a town called Woodinville.
Okay, how are you holding up?
Pretty good. We're lucky to still be working online, so at least we're getting a paycheck.
Sure. No, that's good. And how isolated is you and your in your life, whoever you're sharing your life with or not?
Well, we live like two doors down from my mom, and like we're pretty much in the same apartment complex, and she won't even let us go hug her. So we see her in the window and we're checking the mail. It's pretty awesome.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah, we're pretty isolated.
So you can keep an eye on her and everybody's safe too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, when we moved out, she cried even though we were going like two doors down. So it was, you know, we definitely don't want to stray too far.
Yeah, well, that's nice. So you're there for fantastic.
Yeah.
So yeah, do you for have sure. Do you have an idea for a Netflix show? What would be another great Netflix show?
I was thinking, and I know it might be too meta, but I'm guessing that they'll do eventually a show on the streaming wars themselves. Yeah. And I was kind of thinking that's even more of a possibility now that we've got like the Peacock coming out.
Oh my God. The idea of like the late show of like, you're saying like a, are you saying like a documentary or like a scripted series?
I was thinking more scripted, kind of like a satire. I could see, what's his name? Like Matthew Perry being in it. I kind of thought about that old, forget the name of the show, but it's from the guy who did the West Wing. Yeah, exactly. I could see something like that kind of taking off. And I think somebody eventually is going to do it. I just don't know if it'd be Netflix or somebody else.
No, I think it would be great. I would love to see some sort of, there's nothing more, intriguing to me than those behind the scenes things that tell a story, and I'm a sucker for all of it. So I would watch that in a second.
Yeah. I like the Studio 60, and lately I've been getting into Larry Sanders, which I'd never watched when it was on, and it's pretty dang good.
Yeah, it's all right. he wasn't nice to me. He was not a nice man.
Oh no, I didn't know that side.
He was not a nice man. He was a damaged person who was mean to me, a fan on Twitter who had done just whatever. God bless him. I hope he's
Aaron Sorkin?
No, Gary what's his
face? Shanley. Oh, Gary Shanley. Yeah. I remember that.
Yeah. I like that a lot.
Cool. Do you mind if I share one? My friend sent me he's the one that got me into the show. Yeah, but he's kind of shy about calling in. His is a little more out there. His name's CJ, and let me find it here really quick. Thank you guys again. So his idea is called The Real Straw Dogs, where real war veterans with service dogs draw straws to switch service dogs for 2 weeks with another veteran, and then have to teach and train them for the upcoming canine carnage carnival. And, like, throughout the games, the original owner of the service dog would be kind of trying to sabotage the new person with the service dog.
I got to say, I would watch that.
I think it might be a little out there, but I know I would watch it for sure.
To watch some guy sabotage the training of a service dog?
It'd be his own service dog, though. Yeah, like, I imagine he'd be going over and being like, you recognize me, don't you? And trying to mess up the other guy since they had like, switched service dogs.
Holding out meat.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I like it.
That's great.
You tell your friend he did good.
Okay, I will. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, you stay safe, my friend.
Sounds good. You have a good day, Tom. See you guys.
Okay.
Bye.
So here's one I had. It's called Quadrophenia, and it's an old-fashioned reality show documenting Dennis and Randy Quaid as they attempt to repair their damaged family relationships, and it would culminate in them launching a stage production of The Sunshine Boys, where they performed in it. They'd have to deal with their children and the managers and Randy's public persona, and all the thing would be like a traditional kind of like reality show in that regard, like a celebrity driven one.
Right.
I had another idea called Filling In, and this would be about, two dentists. This would be like a Tiger King thing, but for dentists, right? Like it would be two battling dentists. We'd have to get to realistically do this. I'm just going to create the reality. We find two dentists that are fighting with each other over an office space and over some bonding technique that they'll only get only one can get the exclusive rights to. And it's these two dentists kind of fighting with each other and trying to undermine each other's businesses.
And then just letting and then the dentist, though, we'll see if the dentist can be driven to murder each other.
Are they in the same, are they like partners kind of, that kind of fell out, like Celino and Barnes type thing?
Well, one, yeah, I guess it would be, that would be pretty good if they were that, yeah, that they were, that they used to work together, so they know each other really well, but they split up. I like it.
You just reminded me of a true story that happened in Howell between two bagel shops, competing bagel shops on opposite sides of Route 9. And this really happened. It got so bad that one of the owners was driven to arson. He set the other bagel shop on fire.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I heard about that. You told me about that.
Yeah. Yeah. I told you about that once before.
Yeah.
But you just reminded me with the battling dentist. Yeah.
Yeah. Just to see two dentists, like dentists are just such low key people. And to see two dentists trying to ruin each other.
Yeah, I don't know.
Do you have anybody else have any other ideas?
I got one called Ghost Losers.
Ghost Losers.
Where it's kind of like the awkward ghost hunters that would never really have a TV show.
Okay.
Like they're using this as their like chance to maybe get a show. So they're investigating a haunting in like an old prison or something. But on the other side of that, the production company is using, like visual effects and everything to make the ghosts real.
Okay. So what kind of show is this now? Just get me, let me.
It's a reality show.
It's a reality show.
Reality show. So it's like, it's like those awkward ghost hunters that like, you know, the ghost hunters that are on TV mm-hmm. right now, they're all like slick.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So these are just like kind of like the ghost hunters that wouldn't usually make the cut.
Right, right. But as they're trying to like show that they can make the cut.
Yeah.
The production company's using stuff to make it look like the ghosts are real.
These are great ideas, Jason.
Kristen was like, that's a bad idea. That's a bad.
Well, I'm gonna have to overrule Kristen on this. Jason came up with a good idea, Kristen. You're not the only one who come up with great ideas in the house.
Tom said you're not the only one who can come up with great ideas in the house.
Mike, any other ones? Pat, any other ones?
I got one a little less baked than the other ones, but I guess I'll say it. It would be called Sharks Meet Shark Tank. And this is where, it's a little rough in my head, but it's where in the actual sharks from the show Shark Tank have to stand atop a literal shark tank, not blindfolded, but maybe like hands tied behind their backs, and they have to come face to face, from the side of safety, where they're not going to go into a shark tank. They have to come face to face with people in their lives. It's almost like a This Is Your Life of people they gave bad business advice to, or maybe like, severed relationships with in the business world, and like things ended badly. And they have to make an honest amends with the people from their lives that they kind of wronged in the business world or gave bad business advice to. They have to look them in the face with their hands tied behind their back and make an honest apology to the people. And if the person's like, nah, sorry, I don't buy it, then they get dropped into the shark tank.
In the shark, not to die, though.
No, there's potentially a way out, but they have to. But we see them struggling. And
I like it. I like that a lot. I like the idea of using people who are so proud to call themselves sharks. Yeah. Making them see what an actual shark looks like is very satisfying.
When you said the title, the thought that came to me was that people were going to come out in front of the sharks and, you know, do their pitches. Mm. But the twist is they're already successful. And then, you know, usually they somebody might like the idea, but a lot of them hate the idea.
Mm-hmm.
But then at the end, the person can turn it around on him and say, you know, I'm successful already. I'm a success, you know, and just sort of rub it in their noses, you know, all the people that didn't want to back them.
Sure. I like that. This might be a Pat Mike, team up.
I don't know. I like it. Do you have anything, Mike?
I had maybe a lighthearted comedy, Lost at Sea.
Okay.
About a guy gets kicked out of his house, you know, him and his wife are fighting, but he doesn't go far. He owns a boat there's a boat on his driveway. So he ends up, he moves into the boat on his driveway. He's living in there, starts inviting his friends over there. He's having the time of his life living in the boat on the driveway. His wife is happy. Some of his friends want to move in with him. You know, even the cramped boat, there isn't much room. But, you know, antics ensue.
Mike, I like it. And we could shoot it at the same time as Jason's boat show. We could we just get a boat.
Make use of that boat.
We're thinking of that boat, yeah.
Yeah, if we're going to get a boat, let's just get as many productions out of as possible.
And we're going to need a bigger boat.
We're going to need a bigger, thank you, Pat. The only other one I have is called To Veal or Not To Veal. And the grand prize is $1 million, but the only way to win is to survive is to be the final person left surviving in a crate armed with a remote control that you can use to order pizza and milkshakes, and that's all you can eat. Oh, God. And you're stuck in the crate, and the crates are stacked on top of each other. And depending on whether you win like trivia contests or not, your crate goes up or down in the thing. It's beneficial to just be up in the stacking of the crates.
How big are the crates?
Like they're big enough that you're in there.
Can you stand, or are you constantly?
No. Okay. You can't. It's like veal. Like you're trapped like a veal.
Gotcha.
In a box. And you can eat pizza and milkshakes is the only food that you can eat.
Oh, God.
And
maybe have like real calves outside, sort of like just, you know, living free.
Yeah. But, you know. Rubbing it in their face.
Yeah.
I love it.
That's great.
That's a good one. Right.
We have one final call.
Let's take it.
You are on.
Hi, this is Santi in Philadelphia.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing pretty well. I'm here with my girlfriend, Emmy.
Hey.
How are you doing?
And,
good.
We've just been brainstorming some Netflix shows for you for the past, half hour. Maybe less.
What do you got?
So, my first idea was a cooking competition in which contestants can only dumpster dive, a la Tiger King. So it would be like hot dogs and like barely expired things. And then, it would be kind of like a chopped situation.
Sure. So it's a matter of all you can make. I mean, everything you make has to be food that you wrangled, from dumpsters.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. Yes.
Can you shoplift food?
Oh, I like that.
I think that's a good aspect. I like that too.
Yeah. I think there should be shoplifting allowed, but you can't get caught, of course.
Yeah. Well, if you get caught, you pay the price and you get kicked off the show or something.
Yeah. And they don't pay your legal fees or anything.
Oh, no, I picture that as a part of it. The show disavows any knowledge of you. If you get busted, the show, there's no such thing as this show, and you are forced to, you gotta deal with your own legal ramifications.
That would be really impressive if someone successfully shoplifted with like an entire camera crew surrounding them inside of like a Target.
Yeah, well, that's part of the challenge. You could use it as a diversion. So what's that camera?
Maybe then that's the show. It's everybody turns. Shoplifting.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there's no more cooking, no more dumpster diving. It's just shoplifting the show.
Shoplifting the show would be the single greatest program in the history of television. A game show based on shoplifting? I would. That is legitimately a great idea. I don't think there's one person that wouldn't watch a show, a contest game show about where shoplifting is the way that you score points.
Yeah, it's kind of like that English show that Jason was talking about in a recent episode where contestants are like fleeing from investigators.
Haunted.
Yes, that's right. Except it's smaller scale, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I think it should be real law enforcement.
I mean, we can't go back in time, but I think I would have won an episode of this show for the time I shoplifted physical graffiti under a t-shirt.
Mike. I'm telling you, I would pursue this shoplifting. I will say this. I would, in real life, would lend my name to a show about shoplifting.
I think there's also a show in the underground food market.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in Bayonne, you know, more than one guy basically makes a living going to bars selling meat. Where mm-hmm. does this meat come from? You know, I mean, he even comes in wearing a butcher coat, you know, like he just got off from work, you know, and,
sure. Yeah.
And you know, you could say, well, there was one guy doing this, but then I had another guy come into the bar and he wants to sell me meat. Mm-hmm. So it's a whole thing.
Was he also wearing a butcher jacket?
The second guy wasn't.
Okay.
You know, but the butcher jacket guy had been doing it for years. He's been doing this for years. Now, whether he works at a butcher's and he smuggles his stuff out, that's a good question.
Well, I gotta say, a show, like an underclass version of a game show, stealing, fraud, oh my God.
All the elements, right?
Because what if it's a two-part thing, a two-stage thing? One thing, you got to steal the stuff, and the next thing, you got to roll it. You got to, like,
yeah,
you got to get somebody to buy it from you.
Exactly. and you don't have a lot of time, you know?
No, that would be the greatest thing. Then you get the guy in the lab coat walking into the bar with the thing of meat.
I never bought any. People said they bought meat from this guy and was all right. So I mean,
You only bought shrimp from him.
Well, no, that's the whole thing. That could be a show in itself. The Shrimp Connect.
The Shrimp Connect. Oh my God, I'm telling you, this is a great idea. I think we could talk turkey on this one. I think we could talk turkey, and then we'll be filming somebody shoving a turkey into their shirt like Mike did with his feet.
So what would it be called?
I think it would be called Five Finger Discount.
Brilliant. Yeah, that's got to be it.
Sticky Fingers.
Sticky Fingers. Yeah, Sticky Fingers I like better because of the fruit aspect.
Yeah, because it's cooking.
Five Fingers to Glory. Well, this is a great idea. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
You be safe.
Yeah, hope everyone's good on your end as well.
Okay, thank you so much. All right, take care. All right, guys, let's wrap it up.
That's it.
Yeah. I say goodbye. I will say goodbye to you, Jason, and you, Mike, and you, Pat. Thank you so much for your greatness.
And thank you, Tom.
All this, and I hope everybody's doing okay, and we'll just keep going.
All right. Stay safe, everybody.
You too, Mike.
Okay. Take care.
Bye, guys.
I'll talk to you later.
Oh, well, thank you so much for listening to the best show. I appreciate it. I appreciate everybody who called in and who worked on it this week and made it happen. It's a team effort, and the whole team is doing it. Jason, Pat, Mike, Worcester, Martine. So many helping hands here. Amy Gottschalk helps out, of course. And everybody teaming up and doing it and keeping it going. So listen to Double Threat over at Forever Dog, the show with me and Julie Klausner. Check out the Patreon bonus content so far, the CSNY yearly recap show, and Meet My Friends of Friends in the Q&As, all sorts of stuff. Thank you so much for listening. We will be back. You stay healthy, you stay strong, you take care of yourself, you take care of the people around you. We will get through this. And I appreciate each and every one of you. Thank you. Bye.